Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you're listening. I apologize for the hoarseness in my voice. Yes, I was yelling at the referees again last night at the Cavs game. This is 1193A of You, the Owner's Manual. The A's are always the latest medical news of the week. The B's, great guest, and we have one today in Neil Barnard. We are sponsored, as usual, by Longevity Playbook, longevityplaybook.com, where you can get a free newsletter which gives you the latest update. This week, we would have featured something on probably the mesenchymal stem cells, but we've also got a hot one coming up on hydrogen therapy as well. So those are really spotlights on longevity and what you can do about it in the longevity newsletter that, again, is free at longevityplaybook.com. The other sponsor, well, they make two great products at lifesfirstnaturals.com. Lifesfirstnaturals with an S.com. You can find information about TruBiotics as well as information about bovine colostrum. 2,000 milligrams a day is what I take of that. And you'll see at that site the randomized double-blind studies which show you how good and effective that is in certain situations. Today, the news of the week, well, we have a great news story for you because it's so powerful. It actually gets us to one of those longevity things. We've had another one of the longevity ideas pop up that is getting real, that is increasing stem cell and telomerase, increasing telomeres with increasing telomerase. That's from the company Telomere that I consult for, but their data looks pretty darn impressive, done by independent labs, that it looks like they are going to be able to help people repair their cells by increasing their stem cell length. We'll get into that more in another week when I get to talk about telomeres and stem cells in a little greater detail. But one of the stem cells that I'm going to talk about is transendocardial mesenchymal precursor stem cells in patients with heart failure. This was a study done out of the Texas Heart Institute. That's where it was headed. It wasn't only done there. It was done at, I think it was, as I remember, it was at 300 different sites. I mean, it's a huge number, huge study, and with 500 and some patients, and if you will, I think it was 537 patients. What happened when they transfused them, they actually inserted these cells into a transendocardial, meaning just putting them right on the heart, these stem cells, in patients who had a relatively low ejection fraction and heart failure. And what happened, and they measured the primary endpoints, which were all cause of death, terminal cardiac death, and first to time terminal events. And it turned out the primary endpoint was somewhere between events, but compared with control subjects, the mesenteric stem cell group increased ejection fraction from baseline, especially in patients with inflammation, decreased the risk of heart attack or stroke by 58%, and the risk of three-point major adverse cardiovascular events by 28%, and by 75% in patients with inflammation, that is with high sensitivity C-reactive protein greater than 2. What does this mean? It means if you have heart failure and inflammation, this is a treatment that may, and I stress the word may, but it may come to be something we use commonly and that gives a major benefit to you. I'm hoping that is true. That is our longevity is the next disruptor story of the week. You couldn't get a better story. And by the way, how do they create the stem cells? In culture. Now, one of the great things about that other drug I was telling you about from Telomere is that it may increase your stem cells in vivo, that is in you, and not require this process. Thus, you would self-repair yourself. More on that in a future broadcast when we go into that in more detail. The Well Beyond Wellness story, higher hourly heat exposure increases stroke risk. Large number. Our Roizen Rule for Younger You segment is devoted to LPA. LPA is both a gene and a protein, and this protein is like an adhesive molecule which attaches cholesterol into your wall of your arteries and into your aortic valve. And my favorite story of the week, this again, a Roizen Rule for a Younger You, this Roizen Rule for a Younger You story number two, and I'm going to give you a lot of information on this. The risk for heart attack, stroke, and death is increased with plastics in your carotid plaques in people. And you say, how did it get there? It got there through food and water. And what can we do about it? Well, we'll get to it in a few minutes. And another great story. This is the Odd Omega story of the week. And this is exercise's key to maintaining weight loss in people who are on or stop the GLP drugs. That is the GLP, that's drugs like Wegovy and semaglutide and Ozempic and Mounjaro, which is GLP-1 and GIP, and of course Zepbound, the other name for the Mounjaro when it's used for weight loss. I think that's so that they can keep a patent on it and charge us more when they want to. The other story that is, again, a Well Beyond Wellness story is a high number of people on the HIV preventing PrEP stop using it. This is horrible. This is 40% of people who are on this drug combination, which would allow them to have sex and communicate with others and decrease their own risk of dying of HIV, stop it, and mainly because of money. So this is one we've got to straighten out and get people these drugs when they get HIV as a problem. A Roizen Rule for a Younger You, number three. And by the way, I think you've got to take responsibility and make sure you're taking this. I mean, if you're having sex with others, which is what this study showed, and you stop taking your PrEP, you're going to infect those others. That's a real risk to the other person. You're not taking responsibility for yourself or for your behaviors. I'm sorry, I'm taking coffee, and coffee is one of the great drinks. Why is that? Well, not only does it decrease Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and all causes of dementia, decreases 9 cancers, decreases type 2 diabetes, decreases liver disease. I mean, it's wonderful in those aspects. But guess what? Preparing it gets rid of the plastics. And we'll talk about that in a few seconds. Our first Well Beyond Wellness story comes from China. And this is how higher hourly heat exposure. Try and say that. Higher hourly heat exposure is tied to acute ischemic stroke risk. How much so? It's a large amount. That is, in these people who were exposed to higher hourly heat, when they got this rash of heat from the atmosphere. It wasn't they went into a heat chamber. When they got it, the odds risk of them having a stroke went up about 87%. That's a huge increase for stroke. My Roizen rule for younger you story number one, which is do things to prevent coronary artery disease, know your risk factors, and an elevated LPA is a risk factor. LPA, lipoprotein A, is something we started measuring in around 2004 at the Cleveland Clinic and treating in 2014 by lowering the lipid level. This is proved correct in this study today out of Mass General, which showed that in this group of patients with an elevated LPA, it's a genetic risk factor compared to those without, that LPA increased the, in a 11.9-year follow-up, increased the risk of a atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease major event in the highest group, the highest 10% of LPA, by about 93%. So if your risk was 20% in the next 10 years, it would be 40% with this. What can be done to reduce it? Get your cholesterol level, your LDL, or apolipoprotein B, below 55. That's the secret. Now, there are three drugs in phase 3 trial with LPA, so we'll get some answers, and maybe we can get one of those drugs, knock it out, knock that gene out, and get you healthier. Next story I'm just going to mention briefly is that there is a robust relationship between schizophrenia and heart disease in both women and men, more common that association in women. Big story of the week, though, next to the mesenchymal stem cells, is the risk for stroke and death is increased in people who have plastic in their plaques, in their carotid arteries. Now, you said, wait a second, you'd probably say, what do you mean by that? And what I mean by that is pretty simple. This was a study that where they looked at the plaque after they had taken it out of people with carotid atherosclerosis, that is significant atherosclerosis of their carotid arteries. And they took the plaque out and then they looked at it with microscopes for looking at plastic, and they found that about 55% of people had plastic in their carotid artery plaque. How did it get there? From the water we drink, the food we eat, the plants and animals we eat the plastic, especially in the, now you'd say, is it in the fish? Well, it can be in lake fish and river fish, but it's in everything because it's in our water supply. And how do you get rid of it? Well, let me tell you first that if you had that, you had a almost a 4.9-fold increase. Let me repeat that. If your risk was 10%, it was 50%. It was 5-fold greater when you had plastic in your carotid arteries. And remember, I said it was 58% of people with this plaque had plastic in their carotid arteries, and the hazard ratio for stroke was 4.5, and for all events was 4.9. And when you look at it, you'd say, what can I do about it? Well, the easy thing is, as I said, coffee's an ideal beverage. Why? Because boiling your water and putting it through the ordinary paper coffee filter, it's got to be a paper filter, doing that gets rid of 99.99% of the plastic, it turns out. So when you make coffee or when you make hot water through a coffee maker, you're getting rid of the plastic and lowering your risk of heart disease and stroke as well. Now, do we have good data on coffee being beneficial for heart disease? Well, we have it for dementia and we have it for cancer. So maybe we will find this out when it's looked for. I don't know that it's been looked for in this way. So as opposed to when I was first on my first visit on the Oprah show, she said we should avoid coffee. And I said, no, it's actually something that is beneficial despite its increasing in people with, if you will, slow metabolism. What do we mean by that? Is if you metabolize coffee slowly, you'll have headaches, gastric upset, anxiety, or even abnormal heartbeats when you drink a cup of coffee, a 12-ounce cup in a one-hour period. But if you don't have that, you're a fast metabolizer. 80 to 85% of Americans are fast metabolizers. And in that case, coffee's beneficial. So what I told Oprah, she looked at me skeptically, but the data have just kept confirming that, and preparing coffee is an ideal way of getting water that is plastic free. I think the rest of the stories this week, with one exception, aren't worth coming out except for the odd omega story, which is in people who exercised. Let me phrase it the other way. In people who didn't exercise and were on the GLP-1s like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro, or Zepbound, and they didn't exercise, they stopped losing weight and gained it back, especially gained it back when they stopped taking the drugs. On the other hand, a much smaller gain back in people who had continued to exercise and people who exercise while they were taking it. You need to build muscle. These drugs will cause muscle wasting or muscle loss greater than fat loss. You'll lose both, but you will disproportionately lose muscle on them, it turns out, if you don't exercise. That's our odd omega segment of the day. These are the stories this week on You, the Owner's Manual. This is 1193A, the A's, the medical news of the week, what it means to you. Remember, boil your water and filter it through a coffee maker. Whether you're having coffee through a coffee filter, whether you're having coffee or just making water and then put it in a glass bottle in your refrigerator, that gets rid of the plastics. If you don't know your LPA level, get it measured. And make sure that if it's high, that you get your cholesterol, your LDL, below 55. That means low. And if you do take the drugs for weight loss, or even if you don't, one of the great things is doing exercise to maintain it. Thanks very much for downloading us. We'll be back next week, when I hope you are, but download the B segment today. We have a great guest, the author of The Power Foods Diet and several others, the author of Power Foods for the Brain, Neil D. Barnard, who's a wonderful scientist as well as a great spokesman for healthy eating. But you'll want to hear his book, The Power Foods Diet, how food can decrease your appetite, can trap calories, and can increase your metabolism, and what foods do that. We'll also put him on the spot on some of his other comments in the book. Thanks very much. This is Dr. Mike Roizen. Thank you for tuning in. Remember our sponsors. Go to their websites, please. LifeFirstNaturals.com and LongevityPlaybook.com. Thank you very much.